listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Wednesday, October 10th. We're looking at a lot of destruction in Florida. I'm taking a look at some of the videos. It is just unbelievable what's going on there. I can't even believe people live there. You know, I mean, this happens every year. And, you know, they know to expect this, and yet they live there because, well, I do understand because it's beautiful, beautiful place in the country there in the Gulf. But they have beautiful beaches and everything, but the price is high. So I don't understand that. At any rate, we have a special guest in the studio. We're joined by Blake Rice. Welcome to the show, Blake.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. You seem like you're full of a lot of energy today. Did you get a good night's sleep?
I just got a lot of coffee, Sam. This is pure caffeine. Today's episode is brought to you by Blake's hypertension and caffeine, everyone. And I'm from Florida. Why are you taking shots?
I'm not taking shots.
I'm just kidding. Not... I'm from Jersey. No. I give you a hard time.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I love Florida. I've been there a few times, and it's actually nice. I don't understand, you know, wanting to live there, you know. People ask us, why do we live in earthquake area?
Because it's gorgeous here. And have you ever lived in the Northeast? If you live in the Northeast and you live in New York or Boston or something, and it's brutally cold, you move as far south as you can, and that's why Florida. And if you're addicted to golf, that's why you go down there. There's no rules in Florida, so that's why people love it.
Exactly. It's just the hurricanes are pretty much you can rely on them, you know. So, and they just finished with Helene, and now they have this one, you know. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm just, like, flabbergasted by what's happening there. But at any rate, so you're a New Jersey born and raised.
That's right. That's right. Yep. From Jersey, from South Jersey. Grew up about 20 minutes from Philadelphia and went to school at a school called Rowan University where I studied film. And then after graduating from Rowan, where I kind of started off, you know, getting into this business, I moved up to New York and worked out in New York and started making my own projects up there for the past 8 years or so. And then moved out to LA and I live in West Hollywood now. I've been here about 5 months and stuff's happening quick, man.
Awesome. Well, you're going too fast. We want to kind of find out about you,
you
growing up and everything.
I told you a lot of coffee. You gave us the summary,
yeah. Which is good. But we have to fill 50 minutes.
Let's go. I won't be a problem. I guarantee it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's fun. You're a lot of fun. So what was your childhood like? Do you have siblings?
I do. I do. I'm one of four. I'm the third child. I got an older brother, Porter, an older sister, Bailey, and a little brother, Dean.
Oh, cool.
And no one is in the business. They all have incredible work-life balance except for me. And they have kids doing the family
they
thing.
They have real jobs.
Huh? They got real jobs. Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. And so you grew up in Jersey there. Was it like good times back then? I mean, do you remember your childhood as being a good childhood?
Yeah. I mean, when you grow up in a small coal mining village, you just, you know, you really, it's hard. Football's the only way out.
Yeah.
I'm joking. it was great, man. I was so lucky. I grew up in a beautiful place called Morristown, New Jersey, and really lucky to have great parents and a great support system around me.
That's awesome. And
a killer group of friends. We call ourselves the Goons, and we're still close to this day. And it's because of that support that I'm able to go after this thing that I'm doing now work-wise.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when did you decide you wanted to get into film? Was that early on in your life?
Early on. Mm-hmm. Early on.
Yeah. So you knew you were going to make a career out of it?
I knew I liked it.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like work. Like I assume you feel that
well,
as well.
But before that, I mean, when you talk to your parents about it, what did they say? They said, okay, go ahead, or did they say get a real job like that?
They're so supportive that they never questioned it. They just knew that I worked hard.
Really?
And I learned my work ethic from them. If they saw me diving in, you know, rolling my sleeves up into something I love that much, they trusted me to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they bought me my first camera, a little handy cam, when I was 15, 16 years old. And what started as just making dumb videos of my buddies kicking each other in the crotch turned into me, you know, kind of lobbying with teachers at school. Like, can I do this? Can I do the video project instead of the essay or instead of the test? And eventually they said yes, and I started falling in love with it and wanted to study it in college and the rest.
Awesome.
The rest is what
Were
it
there
is.
Any films that really influenced you that made you say, you know what, I really want to do this? Do you remember
At what age?
When you were young, when you got your Handycam and
honestly, when I was young, maybe because he's a Philly guy or just because the movies were, you know, his career was blowing up and definitely kind of from the indie route to then, you know, mainstream. But I just remember being young and M. Night Shyamalan.
Like
just coming out and blowing my mind and my parents being like, this is great stuff. And expecting twists and old Spielberg to me is always my favorite. Jaws is one of my favorite movies, Jurassic Park. And I love the indie stuff and that's the space I'm in right now. But, you know, I'm going blockbuster route and I'm looking for butts in seats.
Well, that's the attitude
mm-hmm.
you have, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know M. Night Shyamalan, I like his movies as well. Did you see the newest one with his daughter made?
Trap?
No, Watchers. It's called Watchers.
No, I didn't. How was it?
With Dakota Fanning. It's unbelievable. You got to see mm-hmm. it.
Is it scary?
No. Well, kind of, but it's got twists to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't find it scary, but it's supposed to be sort of like, I mean, some people say it's a horror film, but not a good one at that. But some people are calling it a thriller, and it is, you know. So
that's the key to horror and the key to comedy. Just don't say you're a comedy or a thriller and be like, man, this drama is hilarious.
Yeah, right.
Like, man, this thriller is terrifying. That's the key. Don't ever put yourself in a hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I know nothing about Hollywood, but I'm going to start applying that.
Yeah, there you go. So you went to college. Where did you go again?
I went to Rowan University.
Okay, is that like a film-oriented school?
They have a killer film program. It's not like a conservatory or like a quote-unquote film school, but it's a four-year college, got a bachelor's in radio, TV, film. So
oh, wow.
I never took any radio classes. I'm sorry for LA for LA Talk Radio. But they had the option there, and they gave me a killer opportunity, and you know it was a big state college, and I transferred in. And
was that in New Jersey or
in New Jersey?
Really,
in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
And my buddy Ricky and I, we created a show called Socially Awkward Sketch Comedy, and we started making digital shorts, posting them on YouTube, putting them in small festivals, and it kind of some went a little viral, and some got into film festivals, and kind of started my career. And back then, I was writing and directing them, but also acting. And so it got me in front of the camera and got my first commercial agents up in New York.
Oh, really? So you got agents and everything?
I used in New York, when I was acting more, I had agents.
I see. So did you start acting or?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, wow.
I did. So
what was that like for you?
You get no's all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch, you're getting your heart broken over and over again, but it toughens you up.
Yeah.
And I was grateful for it. Like, I love acting, and I actually might have some opportunities to kind of come back to that a little bit now, but directing was always the number one.
Really?
Filmmaking was always the number one. And when you're a kid in college, if you get on set, if you're comparing PAing to being in front of the camera, getting a full day rate in a commercial, you're going to take in front of the camera.
That's true. Yeah.
So I leaned into that a little bit more and wasn't able to kind of direct my more legitimate project until about 2017, 2016.
Right. And you had to make a film, right? A short film for your studies, right?
We had to make we made a bunch. In school, we made a bunch. But honestly, on the side, my buddies and I just started creating this sketch comedy show.
Right.
And YouTube was kind of just starting to blow up then.
Really? So you had a good platform to put your films in.
Really grateful.
Yeah.
We were able to put it somewhere and then get that immediate feedback, which is so helpful. And we were doing that outside of our, you know, basically what we had to do for school.
Right.
And then it picked up enough momentum that the school finally started giving us credit for it. So.
Oh, really?
I'm always working the system, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to do it.
Don't want to take the test, I'll do the video projects. And say, now I just pitch studios. It's the same thing.
Right, yeah. And so what was your first film? This was sketch comedy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The first real short film that you made?
First real short film was called To Whom It May Concern. We shot it out in Queens, where I lived. It starred Gabrielle Piazza, a great actor and producer herself. And we sold that to DirecTV back in, it was like pre-streamers. And that was kind of my first thing that got going. And it actually aired, which back then was a crazy time.
Yeah.
We didn't make any money, but we got paid a little bit for it, which was a huge victory. And
right.
It did some local film festivals in New York and in Queens, and kind of started off. I learned a ton from it. Grateful for the project.
Yeah. Nice feather on your cap, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, you get something done, and it's your first one, you know, and you want people to like it, and you don't know what's going on, and you got recognition for it.
A little bit, but boy, did I learn. You learn more, you know this. Like, you learn more on the stuff you didn't, you know, that you missed on.
That's
and especially
true.
In filmmaking, I feel like I have so much to learn and I'm still so green. I'm just trying to keep, you know, 2 ears open on it every time. And every time I make a project, I look at my past work and be like, what stunk? What do we whiff on? How do we shorten that?
Well, you're still young. I mean, you got many years to actually perfect yourself.
I'm youngish. Young is mean.
It's all relative.
Because I shaved today. That's not it for
age
young.
Is relative. You know, that's all I can tell you, man. But no, I mean, you obviously have a long time to learn the profession and
absolutely
and the trade and all that stuff. Very cool. So did you come to LA before that or?
I'd been in LA. I did another short film called People Like You, probably like a year or so after To Whom May Concern. We shot that out in Palmdale and in Brentwood. Uh-huh. But besides that, I only did
two very different places.
I know. Well, we need a desert. We needed a mansion. So we had to check every cliche. LA, never been there, but want to shoot there at location off the list.
Yeah.
And so I was out to LA for that. And came back and forth some other times just purely for work. And, you know, recently just living in New York for that long and coming up the narrative route as a director, not the commercial side.
Right.
And I'm not in fashion. In New York, I just felt like there was more opportunity for me in the direction I wanted to go in out here.
Yeah.
So finally made that scary jump about 5 months ago and I couldn't be more grateful. Yeah. I'm new. I'm a newbie. I'm lost. I don't know where I am. My car's going to get towed.
How many years did you live in New York?
Eight
years?
Mm-hmm.
Where, in Manhattan?
I was in Queens.
Oh, in Queens.
Yep, in Astoria. Yeah. You know it?
I've got some family there. I've been there once, but I don't remember much from it. But I know it's like a suburb.
Yeah.
One of the suburbs and everything. It's not quite Manhattan. It's different.
No, totally different. Great neighborhood. A lot of artists there.
Yeah.
Killer food. Our area was like mostly Greek, some killer Greek food.
And,
no, I love Astoria. Owe a lot to it. I bartended there for forever and was working at three different bars at one point.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. You got to do survival jobs.
That's true. You know,
you got to get a different hustle going. And so I was like the bartender for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it's pretty good money though, right?
It's great, but I died. I was dead. I've been in restaurants for too long. Eventually, I started resenting it.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't want people to even walk in. And now I'm like, please, no, not another. And like, Blake, you're broke. You have to do this. But no, I do think everyone should be in the food service business. I think it keeps you grounded. And I did love it for a period. And I had some great moments. And eventually, I lived above the bar I was bartending at in Queens.
Oh, really?
So my buddies could come in and I could take care of them. We were living a sitcom at that point.
Huh?
And I'm really grateful for those years. And it was such a blast.
Yeah, awesome. So you came to L.A., you realized this is where you want to live. And also because there's more action as far as film and stuff.
Totally.
What's the film situation in New York? I mean, they have a lot of it going on there too, right?
They do. They do. They have film and TV. And I was coming up as, like, because I started PAing after college and I started acting. And then on the side, I was kind of like spending all my money once a year on a little short film that I was directing.
Yeah.
And then that led to me producing, you know, some more of those short films for my friends that were kind of doing the same thing. And then I started producing commercials and started coming up the commercial production track a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And most of the production out there is mostly either fashion or commercial, at least in my experience.
Right.
And getting to a point where I was directing more and more of these shorts and they were doing more festivals and I was just growing and I'm still writing scripts and doing that hustle of trying to get represented.
Right.
I just was kind of feeling like I was hitting a wall and there wasn't, you know, enough of a network out there. And got to a point where I was really happy with my work and the way it was growing, even though it has a lot more to grow. I just wanted to be, you know, I always use the analogy, like I wanted to be in Nashville if I'm a country singer. You know, it's time to sink or swim.
Yeah, be where it's at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet some interesting people there, here?
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's L.A.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I feel like I sharpened my fangs networking and production-wise, and I learned how to, like, go out there and get my own work and make it happen, and I'm so grateful for that East Coast kind of work ethic out there. And then I'm glad I'm here now where I am in the rooms and I am, you know, talking about bigger projects and I am getting these opportunities that I've worked so hard for, but I appreciate everything I learned out in New York to be able to pull it off here.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever interested in theater at all or
as an actor?
Yeah.
I did theater in college and I did theater in summer camp growing
up.
But The close I got is I did stand up for a minute.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I did stand up.
Well, that's not quite theater.
Hey, if you do theater, Sam, it counts. Yeah. Okay. I was in off Broadway theaters. Okay.
I don't know. I think theaters, I think a play. Or,
yeah, no,
know,
I never did it. I would always love, like, look, I loved acting. I like anything would be great. Do I wake up in the middle of the night being like, I have to act? No. I do
no,
think
so
that way about
No, so you don't have
directing.
That desire as much as being behind the camera.
Mm-hmm. No, see. No. But I still love it. Yeah. I mean, it's the best. Yeah. Have you acted in anything ever?
No, never have.
Okay, well, today that changes.
Yeah,
and I have an audition for you, okay?
You see, I don't know I could be an actor because I don't know that I could be somebody else. You know, I could only act if I'm myself, and that's not acting. So, that's what I think. I mean, maybe if I learned it, you know, but I don't think it would come natural to me. I don't know. I just...
Are you a good liar?
Also,
you just got to lie. That's what they don't tell you.
That's true.
Just lie.
But you also got to learn a lot of lines by heart and
see, that's
things
where I'm
like
bad.
That. Yeah.
That's where I'm about. I have an acting opportunity coming up. And I'm like, man, I auditioned for it and it was a great role. And I haven't auditioned in so long and I just couldn't learn the lines.
Really?
It just took me forever. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. It took me a minute.
Yeah. Because you did practice all these years.
I haven't practiced in so long, and also I'm a dummy, and it just takes me forever to learn written down things.
But it's not easy, you know? Man. It's not easy.
I just got to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and eventually
right.
I get it. But
yeah.
If they let me
improv.
Because
you also have to act. It's not just the talking, obviously. So there's a lot of different things you have mm-hmm. to make sure you're doing at the same time.
Yeah, you know? You got to breathe, and you got to walk, and you got to do everything. You know, it's impossible. I don't know how these people do it.
Awesome. So... So you only been here 5 months, right?
That's right. Okay, I got here in, let's count them, March, end of March.
Right.
March, April, May, June, July, August. 6 months?
Yeah.
6 months, 7 months? Yeah. Looking at it. So, but I've been traveling a fair amount, and so, you know, probably been here actually for half the time.
Mm-hmm.
So learning the area, loving it so far, and... you know, weather's incredible. It's not Florida weather, as you
no,
were.
No, absolutely.
You were saying,
yeah, you can't beat the weather here.
The weather's amazing, and no, I love it. And I'm in West Hollywood now, so learning that part of town. And,
awesome. So, did you move alone? Are you married or anything?
Not married. I moved. I
no,
did here.
No family yet, or
nope.
I mean,
no, nothing.
No kids or anything.
Like no
that.
Kids. No kids that yeah. I know of. You know,
yeah.
you never know. Roll
exactly. You might have some around
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, probably. Don't listen to that, mom.
Have you traveled in your life outside of the country?
I've taken like quick family vacations, and this is a great segue. I see what you're doing. But I went to, and I've never been to Europe, but I went to Europe for the first time mm-hmm. in May because we got my last movie got in the can.
Oh,
and
wow.
So that was the first time we went out there.
Yeah.
And I always had kind of, you know, this lifelong goal is, you know, I want to go and I want to experience France and Europe for the first time, but I want to do that from work.
Yeah.
And I want to let work bring me.
I see.
And I traveled one of the few things I traveled out to LA with, I brought my car, brought some clothes and I brought a poster from Cannes Film Festival 1939.
Oh, yeah.
And then about a month and a half, 2 months after living here, I got the call that our film T
wow.
was selected in competition this year.
That's amazing.
Craziest time of my
yeah.
life.
So this is your current film, T.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about for you? Did you write it?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
How did the idea come to you?
I'm always a variety of things on this one. I'm always looking for a spark, an idea, and anything. And I saw a monologue performed by this incredible actor named Isaac Lee, and it's about a character who's performing Asking Out the Girl of His Dreams. Mm. And it was just, it was more of a rehearsal, you know, he's rehearsing doing it. And I loved that. And I felt there was so much bravery in it. And then while he's doing that, he gets bit by a fly or a horse fly or stung by a bee or something. And I thought this was a great inciting incident for a project. And I knew the area. I knew how to twist it to the locations and write it to a specific location that I think we could really pull off. And I knew how to introduce new characters. And it just started that idea machine. So put it together and tease a comedy about loneliness. It's about a guy who's kind of working on himself to be good enough to ask out the person of his dreams. And
oh, yeah.
While he's doing that, he gets stung in the throat by a hornet and he goes into anaphylactic shock. And of course, as the universe throws at him, the girl of his dreams comes out to take the trash and he's got to convince her to save his life.
Oh, really?
Yep, yep. Wow, stars Michael Gandolfini and Olivia Nikkanen, and they do an incredible job, and couldn't be prouder of their performances.
Is he the son of?
Son of.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
So we kept the Jersey connection.
Yeah,
going on that.
Yeah.
Yep. It's in the back of a very Jersey strip mall set in the early 90s and big nostalgia play for me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very nice. How did you meet him?
So our producer, Gabriel Piazza, did the Many Saints of Newark movie that Warner Brothers made. And we hit it off after that. And I've been working with her on a bunch of projects. And once T was kind of a draft was written and we just started jamming and thinking, like, I think Michael might be great for this. And just after, you know, hitting it off at drinks or dinner one night, I floated it by him. He's like, let me give it a read. And he loved it. And, you know, we were like, we're making this thing after that.
Yeah, yeah. Has he been working for a while and making movies and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think I've heard of him, but I've never really seen him in anything.
Mm-hmm. He's in a bunch of great stuff, a lot of great projects coming out right now. Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how's the name T? How is that related to the story?
Because the guy is asking her out for tea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's asking her out for tea, and he's kind of a sheepish, meek guy, and he gets beat up by the world, and he's super isolated, and I feel like everyone, you know, can be lonely in their own ways, and he's kind of experiencing this version of it, and the other lead character is experiencing hers, and we see how people can be connected through that.
Yeah. No, I see in the picture that his face is all swollen and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That's from the bite?
That's from the sting.
From the sting, I mean. Yeah.
Yep, we had an incredible...
And that's how he has to go and propose to the girl to go out for tea.
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, at that point, he's asking her to save his life because he's going into shock. So he needs an EpiPen dearly.
Wow.
Yep.
Did she know him before?
The actor?
No, the character in the movie.
She's
the girl of his dreams.
No,
but
no,
did
no.
She know about
no, he knows. You know how it is. You're 18, 19. You know the girl before she knows you. And
right.
No, he hadn't even built up the courage to go speak to her. That's
really?
At least how I see it. Yeah.
So then he just walks up to her one day. He's all swollen and everything.
Oh yeah.
And he's asking her to save his life.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can't. You don't want to give away the whole movie and everything, but. I'm curious, you know, because it's like a very unusual situation, you know, and I mean, first of all, you just want to impress the girl the first time, and here he is coming and asking her.
Oh yeah, and he's blowing up. And we had an incredible SFX artist on this, Mackenzie Brooks, and she's a dear friend, family friend, and we put Michael through the gamut of a bunch of, you know, he couldn't see on, you know, at certain parts of the day, and
really?
His face is blowing up. He's sitting in the chair forever. So he's a true champ, and gave everything to the project. Both, I'm so proud of everyone who made this movie with us.
Great. Did you have a big cast, or is it just a few people?
No, we have two leads, and then probably about three or four supporting other characters that kind of play into the world of this back of house strip mall. So these other places of work.
Yeah.
And who's taking out the trash at certain moments, what skateboarders are hanging out back behind there. You know,
Yeah. 90s,
don't leave your hometown, stay after your summer job type crowd.
Yeah. Why did you pick the 90s? Is that pretty much what you went through in your childhood? And is that a time period you're familiar with?
I'm very familiar with it. You know, I know that world, and there's something about that, like, late summer, early fall overgrowth. Back of a strip mall that screams New Jersey and feels close to home to me. And I just, as a filmmaker, and I'm growing so much, I want to start small and start with stuff I know.
Right.
This world I can tell.
Yeah.
This part, true. This slice of life I can paint the picture for.
Yeah.
Or at least get close to it.
Yeah.
And so I like starting, you know, I when I was younger, I used to make these broad movies that I had no command of. I didn't know what I was doing. And so now I just kind of, you know, you try to get smaller and get the smaller things right. Try to pull off the grander swings.
Right.
And so that's why I pulled it back home.
I see. Wow. How long is the film?
It's about 13 minutes.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's not very long to tell a story.
No.
Right?
I wish I had time.
Right. So it makes it actually more difficult to make a short film than a full feature, right? I mean...
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Full feature sounds hard. I'm
well, no,
hopefully
for sure.
I have that answer soon for you.
But you have to squeeze in a story in a very short time. So you have to do a lot of editing, a lot of...
You do.
Right?
Yeah, and a lot of the challenge, but a lot is like, it is a different form. You know, you do have to establish really quickly, and you got to pump through your exposition without being tropey as fast as you can, and you got to be interesting, and you also have to look at your project not only as its own, but in a block of other films. Because when you do short films, you do film festivals.
That's true.
And when you do film festivals, you're very rarely just shown alone.
Yeah.
So you got to see, like, how does this place? And part of making tea was with that in mind. I've been doing festivals for so long. You try to stand out. And, you know, this project is, you know, it's a comedy, but it's a drama and it's perilous. And it kind of changes hats a bunch of times. And it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
You know, it pulls on the heart cords a little bit at the end. But in a film block, I feel like there's so many heavy topics out there. So much stuff that's really intense and necessary and important to watch. And has right. these strong, strong themes. And this one's kind of like a glass of ice water in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm grateful to the festivals, and a huge thanks to all the festivals, especially Cannes, for selecting us this year.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how many films do they select usually?
I think they pick 10 or 11.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the whole world, yours was picked as one of the of the 10,
yeah,
right?
It was
very flattering.
Crazy flattering experience. Wow. Yeah, it was essentially my coming out party professionally.
Yeah.
And being the only one from the U.S. and the only one in English, it definitely, you know, put me on the map. And it was the wildest time of my life.
English-speaking film?
It was.
Yeah?
It was. Yeah. Yeah, everything else. I mean, when you go there and you screen, you have to have subtitles on it in French and in English.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Very interesting. So you actually went there?
I went there. It was wild. The day, I feel like I've told this before, but I got in the shower one day, I got out, checked my phone, and my life was different. You know, once the news broke, I'd been reaching out for trying to get representation out in LA, and probably emailed 100 agents to try to read my scripts and try to get an opportunity. And the second I got into Cannes, everything changed. Managers reached out, agents reached out, publicists, and then production companies and studios for asking what my next project is. And
right.
It kind of got me into the room the first time and got me, you know, opportunities that I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
And that started even before I went to the festival.
Yeah. Did you go alone or did you take any?
We rolled deep. My Jersey squad definitely showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And we came out there. My mom and dad came, which was so cool. My older sister came, which was incredible. And,
yeah.
A lot of the cast and crew from T came. And
right.
What's so cool about that is when you're a filmmaker, everyone else who is involved in your project, you bring a lot of the same team along.
Right.
But everyone else is out getting their own projects off the floor, too.
That's true.
To see them come for Cannes to support T, but to also grow themselves as filmmakers and creative out there and network and get opportunities spun off that, that's the dream. That's what I'm doing it for.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. So are you the producer of the film too?
I'm one of the producers, but I'm not the main producer. Main producer is Gabriel Piazza, who did an incredible job on it, and another producer named Michael Sedgevich, great buddy. And we have a bunch of executive producers on there. My buddy Tommy Jester, Alex McNichol, Michael Gandolfini's an EP on it, Chris Cadwell, a bunch of people, a lot of names that I'm going to get yelled at. My friends at Dex Mob for doing that, and Krista Minto, and a ton of people involved, and now we got some great producers on board that are helping us with kind of this campaign season and more festivals. And a good friend of Catherine's, Andrew Carlberg, has just joined on, and he's had some success in the short film space before. So we're bringing on people and we're adding to the squad, and, you know, going to take this thing as far as it goes.
That's awesome. Now, as far as the budget for the film, did you have a pretty big budget for this?
Our budget was $750 million.
Yeah.
That was just for my rate.
Yeah.
No.
You'll recover that quickly.
It's a write-off. It was small, man. Scrapping it together. You know, we did this thing for under $10,000.
Really?
And did it ourselves.
So the people don't expect to be paid a lot. They also want to have something that they've made that they can show, right?
Because
that's what it's about, right? Ultimately, you want to make full feature films and be known.
Yeah, and I'm lucky enough that the people around me believe me enough to donate some of their time or discounted rates, and I'm super grateful for that. And that's how this thing got to happen. And the goal of it all is to get more of that work and show what we're capable of. And I'm just warming up.
Yeah. Wow. Very nice. I'm sure all your family proud of you and everything, you know, for all the stuff that
I've put them through the ringer. They've seen a lot of less exciting shorts for this and gotten some other questionable festivals. But and they put up with stand-up and sketches online and everything. But No, they're super proud and super, super supportive. And, I'm going to see my parents shortly in about a week or two. We're going to be out at another film festival. And,
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's
where's that going to be at?
So I'll do in Woodstock Film Festival, next. That's in Woodstock, New York.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they actually have film festivals there?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They got them all over the country and I can let you know, T's screening at a bunch of screens really soon. And,
oh really?
Which
so
is really
people
cool.
can actually watch it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people watch it, for example?
I'll let you know. I got a list.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good.
So, we'll be at, we're at Buffalo on the 2nd on next weekend, or this weekend, sorry. We're at Buffalo Film Festival in Buffalo, New York. Mm-hmm. Then we screen on the 18th at Newport Beach out here in Cali.
Uh-huh.
After that, on the 19th, we're at Bushwick Film Festival back in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
So any hometown friends want to come out, hit the Bushwick Film Festival. Then we're back here in L.A. for the Michaud Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Great film festival. And then we're back on the East Coast that right at the same time on the 24th and the 26th for Philly.
Yeah.
Philly Film Festival, which I'm pumped because that's kind of a hometown show for me.
Yeah, that's true. Now, if somebody doesn't live in those areas, do you ever stream it anywhere? Or?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No, we got to stick to the theaters so far. And then eventually, once we're done this festival run and once we see how award season goes, we'll eventually put it online or sell it somewhere to a streamer, hopefully. But yeah, we got that. And then I'll be in Savannah on November 1st. We'll be in SCAD, the Savannah Film Festival. And then after that, on the 2nd and the 3rd, Denver. And
wow,
after,
you get to travel after, quite a bit.
I'm not going to all these, but I will try to.
A budget bigger than the field.
Oh
just
my
to
gosh!
Travel.
It keeps costing me money. Yeah. This thing. And then we're in Coronado Island on November 8th. And after that, I got Orlando, the American Film Convention, Chilliwack out in British Columbia, and then back to France, Cannes Indie Shorts. And that's just what we're starting. We got Santa Fe as well in the mix. And
so a lot of recognition for you, right? Because you compete with a lot of films too, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even though I get the big yeses sometimes, and I'm so grateful for them, we still get a ton of no's.
I'm sure.
Nothing's given in this business.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you learned anything here that's, like, profound for you that you didn't know before here in L.A.?
I mean, so much of it is, and especially working on this stuff independently, is you just hope you're making the right moves.
Right.
And so now that I have one project that's getting some attention, it's just so validating to be like, oh, my strategy that I was doing and making up as I go,
right.
it was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And now I've been able to have some great mentors that have kind of helped guide this, and I got some managers now and a great lawyer now that are helping me out, and all eyes are now pointing towards the next project and getting me that first feature. So
yeah, awesome.
I couldn't be more thankful. This little short film is doing its job. I'll
yeah,
say that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have they picked the nomination for the Academy Awards yet? I mean, are you going to be considered?
We're going to go for it. We're
really?
Going to go for it. Yeah, it's a whole dance, and we've qualified, and so now we're beginning that process. It's getting in front of people, and I'm new to that, so you probably know that experience more than me, and that's a crazy thing to even discuss.
Right.
But no, we qualified, and we'll keep doing these screenings and see. Our first target will just be making that short list.
Right.
And then after that, after that, everything's crazy.
Yeah.
The train's moving.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. How many in the short list? How many films?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
I hope a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I hope a lot.
No, actually, you don't want a lot, so you don't have to compete.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think maybe 50, but I might be making that up.
Yeah, you'll do well. I mean, Catherine always has very successful clients. I mean, they've been to the Oscars and things like that. So
I appreciate it.
You're in very good company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's London
She's
Flair. Catherine with London Flair PR. She's
yeah,
the best.
Yeah. And we've had many of our clients, and they've all done well. You know, I mean, very good films. She knows how to pick them. So I know yours is special as well.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, we hit it off. Once we met up at Cannes, and we hit it off immediately, and we were like, let's have some fun in this thing, and let's get a couple tequila sodas, and let's hit some film festivals and get out there, right?
Yeah. So the next projects for you, are you going to still stay with short films, or are you looking at a feature?
Great one. I already have some short films in post that we've done. I got two great projects, two I produced, one called The Coretta Show by my great buddy Toby Aremu, who we just finished shooting out in Brooklyn, and then another one called Prime with my buddy Megan Coyle. And I was a producer on both of those, and those are the two directors, and Killer Project's being edited right now. And I just directed another short right when I got back from Europe called Disc, and that's with Jim Cummings and Victoria Radermanis. And that one's a wonky one, man. I'm pumped to share that one with people too.
Wow.
But after those two, I'm talking with my friend Jim right now about doing one more. But most of my day to day right now is getting this first feature off the ground. And we got a project that I'm really proud of. A hometown story, the PA, New Jersey story called The Empty Lot. Definitely a drama, comedy, a lot of life, a lot of passion in there. And I'm really pumped to get that thing going, and we're looking close to having some fun news on that one too.
Yeah, that's cool. So now, being a director, did that come natural to you, or did you mostly have to learn it in school?
I come from a sports background.
Okay.
And definitely that leadership aspect, being able to handle a lot of personalities, a lot of different characters, and then a lot of responsibility at one time, and not, you know, when the pressure's on. I kind of credit to my sports background, and really? I played lacrosse for a while, and then I coached it as well. And while learning how to direct in school, I find that you got to apply some of that stuff in the rest of your life too. And I do think a lot of it came naturally. The craft did not, the storytelling ability did not, the business side did not.
Yeah.
But the onset demeanor and the way to rally the troops and the way to keep the excitement going, I credit a lot to my sports background in it. So I do love it. I do love it. And I think I got a little knack for it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, all these films you mentioned, I forget what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
But what did I want to... I had like an important question to ask you about them. Mm. But okay, it'll come back in a minute to me. But so you were in sports with that, like in college and stuff?
Yeah.
What'd you play, lacrosse?
Play lacrosse. Yeah, every Blake needs to play lacrosse.
Really?
Right? It's a trap for us. We're born with it. It's a stereotype.
How did
true.
You get into that?
My dad played.
Oh, really?
And was a great lacrosse player himself, and out in New Jersey, and you know, brought it to us. And my brothers and I all played, and we loved it. And that was my identity forever. Yeah. And then once I got further in college, I played in college, and at a certain point, I wasn't doing enough film, so I had to transition over and. Got to the film side, but some of my best friends in the world are buddies I played lacrosse with. And,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
How many years did you play professionally?
No. I played D3 lacrosse, and no, I never played professionally. I don't have the size for that, or the skill, frankly, but...
You have to be big to play this?
Yeah, be a big guy. Or you got to be faster than me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But no, I love this sport, and I just had a fun call with my reps now, and they're kind of interested in me doing a lacrosse movie because one hasn't been done yet, and they're kind of talking shop on that. So
yeah, that would be good because you're very familiar with it.
I am.
Yeah. Now I remembered what I wanted to ask you. So all these other films, you wrote all of them?
For the past three or four I wrote and directed. I've done some projects that other people have written, and then I've kind of come in last minute. But no, this one I wrote and directed T. The one before that, one I'm really proud of called Sawdust, I wrote and directed. That's a single take film. And the one before that, Steps, as well, I wrote.
I see.
Yeah.
And where do you get your ideas? I mean, like from life, or how do you get...
I'm always writing. Always
really?
Writing. Yeah, there's a really lame saying that you walk plot. And I think it's kind of true. I think there's so much stuff that, you know, like and especially for shorts, you're kind of always thinking of a kicker and a little spice.
Right. Uh-huh.
And you get the right character in the right place with the right inciting incident. You can really kind of spitball some fun, quick shorts, you know?
Right.
It's like, give me three things and we can see if it works. You can go, okay, there's a guy, he's a mailman. He's trapped in a car in a car wash. And he's going through a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Short film. Let's try to write that one. You
right.
know, and it's like person, place, thing, inciting incident. Like that's kind of what I'm always thinking of and as a way strategically to crack through in the short film world to try to get to the more paying, longer form work like features.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So how far do you think you are from actually producing a feature film?
Ooh. Ooh.
Far? Are you ready for it?
Am I ready for it personally?
Mentally, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Really?
Hell yeah. I'm ready.
You think you can do it? No problem.
Oh, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
I know I can do it, but I need to do it at an appropriate scale. My first feature is, it's going to have an indie gritty feel, and it's going to be like T was, like it'll start small. Big characters, big problems in their worlds, but, it's not a huge budget Marvel project.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that.
Do you have a script for that one yet?
I do.
Oh, wow.
I do. Yeah. All written out.
Very cool.
And so that's that one I'm ready for. And in a lot of this business, you do have to be patient, and there are moments and opportunities that you need to be ready for to achieve them. And there's been rooms I've been in when I was younger where I wasn't ready for it. And looking back, I'm like, man, yeah, I shouldn't have gotten that opportunity.
Yeah,
you know, I shouldn't have been cast in that thing. I was hungover and I didn't learn the lines.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, so for this now, I do feel like, I'm about to turn 35. Like I have been, working my way up, and I do feel like I'm ready to swing at my first feature. And it might take me a couple features to make a good one.
Yeah.
And I'm ready
true.
To be in that position.
Yeah. Now, what about, do you have to work with big studios, or is that not a necessary thing?
I just started talking to studios.
Okay.
I'd never gotten in, and I haven't gotten close enough where like they're saying yes or no, but I'm in the room.
Yeah.
And they're reading my stuff for the first time, and that's
nice.
Really cool and exciting. And that's new for me.
Yeah. That's
so no, I'm below that right now, but
right.
I am in the room, and I am meeting with people, and there's still a chance that this first project does land at a studio or at like a known streamer and distributor. Which is a huge compliment, and shout out to the team that's getting me in the room on those.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's good because today there's so many ways to market your film and everything,
mm-hmm.
and show it in many different places. You know, it's not just movie theaters anymore. You got all the streamers, like you mentioned, and on demand and all that stuff, so.
Yeah, there's a ton of outlets, but I will say, like, I'm going for the, I do want the theaters.
Yeah.
I want the wide release.
Well, of course,
and I'm going for that. And there is a difference between, and the viewing experience. It's like, I'm making it for the big screen. And I'm sure every director thinks that, but very much so, like, there is a total different experience that you get when you watch it in the theaters. Theaters are designed for the viewpoint to be what the creators make. It's like going to see a band. You see a band in a coffee shop, you're not going to get the same experience that you see them in an amphitheater.
That's true.
The acoustics are different. The picture is different in a theater. You're dialed in more. It's just that you're in stadium seating. And you're literally closer to the characters.
That's true.
So one of the greatest thing about screening at Cannes is that it was, one of the greatest theaters in the world, one of the greatest sound rooms in the world.
Oh, really?
So to have my work professionally be shown for the first time there,
yeah.
I couldn't be more grateful for, because it's what we intend.
Yeah.
It's what every filmmaker strives for, is to have their stuff
That's
seen the
true.
Way they intend
yeah,
it.
Yeah. How many people do you think actually watched it?
In that room?
Yeah.
Oh, it was about like 1,200.
1,200 people?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it seats, so
yeah.
We'll see. I don't
Are these
know.
The people that get to vote? These
mm-hmm.
people that watch?
Vote on what?
On which film is going to be selected and...
Oh, they do that before, but they do watch it. The Cannes jury and selection committee, they do watch it in the theaters. They do watch the movies in the theater, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which helps.
So the crowd is not just people off the street. They're
mm-hmm.
all people that...
No, they have
the
programmers.
Yeah,
and all the festivals, they have their own programmers. And so they selectively pick stuff and curate blocks. And it's a whole art form in itself. It's like, what does our film festival this year want to represent? What kind of films fit together, and what's our quality, and what's kind of our messaging and mission, and what projects are we putting the spotlight on? And it's this really cool world that I've been kind of in and out of for a while, but seeing it in these higher end festivals, you really do see the art form of the festival programming, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah. How many days did you spend there?
About 10.
Really?
About 10.
Did you get to travel around?
Hell
and visit? No.
No, not at
so
all.
So you're busy with
busy.
The business the whole time.
Busy the whole time, but I went to the wheels fell off. I was pumped. Every meeting I had would have been the greatest meeting of my career before then.
Yeah,
so I just
true.
Rung it.
You
just
met a lot of people.
Met as many people as I could. Took as many meetings as I could, and a lot of those meetings are still bearing fruit today, and started some lasting relationships. And I always said, if I was 85 years old and I just got into Cannes then, I would be just as thrilled as I was this spring.
Wow. Very nice. What an accomplishment. I mean, you're an accomplished filmmaker by, already. I mean, you've done a lot of things. You're doing a lot of things. And, you got your hand in the, where it needs to be.
I appreciate it, but I'm definitely not, I'm not satisfied.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's where you need to be,
mm-hmm.
But you're, relatively, you're just starting out.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just starting out right now, and I'm learning a bunch. I'm learning a lot about the PR side and everything. And my dad always says that, he goes, Lord gave you two ears and one mouth, you know? So I'm trying to listen twice as much as I talk. And you know me, I'll keep yapping. But no, I'm just trying to learn. I think there's one thing that's a strength for me as a filmmaker is that I'm not scared of, you know, taking my licks and learning through trial by fire. And like, I'll go straight at this thing. I'm going to go get it and try to get better each time and take the advice where I can get it.
Yeah. Sounds good. Mm-hmm. So the movie is T.
Yep.
And you guys can watch it in one of the festivals we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else, though, right? I mean, you can't watch it stream anywhere?
We can't stream it yet. No, sir. Oh. No. It's,
why is that?
Because we're in consideration right now.
Oh, okay.
We have to stick to the festivals. And then because of potential sales later on, we can't post it online because we have a great sales agent and they'll be finding it a home before we post it online.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, people have to keep it in mind and, you know, watch it when it becomes available.
Absolutely. We're at tthemovie.com and at tthemovie on social platforms everywhere. And you can follow up with us and see what city we're hitting next.
Yeah. T, that's T-E-A, mm-hmm. just like the tea we drink. And congratulations to you. I mean,
thank you very much.
You're very impressive at the work that you do and the attitude that you have, you know, and your approach to your profession. And I see you going into bigger things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for sure, you know. I mean, you have what it takes, I think, you know, to make it in Hollywood.
I have a caffeine addiction. That's it.
That too. That helps, you know. All right. Well, so T, the movie, where can people find you? Are you on social media?
Yeah, I am at Blake W. Rice, and that's on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Rice, R-I-C-E.
All right. Rice like the food, tea like the drink, rice like the food.
There you go.
Thanks for having me on, Sam.
All right, Blake. Thanks so much.
Appreciate
All
it.
The best to you. And come back.
With I will. Have with me an back. Oscar. I got more movies. If I get
an Oscar in your hand.
If I get shortlisted in the NOM, I want to come back. How's that?
Okay, sounds good. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.